Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another Big Gay Date, the alternative commentary for movies we had nothing to do with. My name is Dave Mosley.
My name is Carl Skeens.
And tonight we are enjoying the 1999 horror comedy adventure Stephen Sommers classic, The Mummy, starring Brendan Fraser.
I like how you called it a Stephen Sommers classic, like he's done anything else that has been as classic as this.
What's his best film?
This.
It's a classic. A classic Stephen Sommers
fair, okay. And Brendan Fraser, this might be one of his best roles.
Absolutely.
This role was made for him.
It's a defining role for him.
Yeah. He's leading man status. He's cooler and more charismatic than Indy.
Mm-hmm.
He carries more guns than Han.
Yes. He's the perfect blend of the two.
Yeah. He dances less than he did in Blast from the Past, so that's good.
Yeah. He's got the... You know, he's got the cool, the archaeologist kind of swagger and everything of Indiana Jones, but he's got the quips and the sarcasm and everything of Han Solo.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice blend.
Now, that big-ass Sphinx we passed a second ago, I've seen the Sphinx, and I know, like, sand grinds away like stone, but
sure.
That Sphinx looked way bigger than it does, right? Like, in proportion to the people? That Sphinx looked fucking huge.
I understand this thing. The Sphinx is much smaller than people think it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like a Statue of Liberty.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I can't speak for it personally, so.
I feel like this Egypt is the Vegas from Ocean's 11. It's not the Vegas that really exists. It's the one that we wish it was.
Yeah, it's a stereotype.
Yeah.
What are we doing tonight? So this is we're going to be doing a commentary on this movie that neither of us had anything to do with. Most commentaries do aim to give you a little bit of insider knowledge. That's not what we're going to do. We're just going to be riffing on it, shitting on it at points. But it's going to be hard to do that, I think, because I have very fond memories of this film as a kid.
Yeah, bro. This was nine when I was nine when this came out. Not this was nine when I came out. People our age were our target audience.
Absolutely, yeah. This was our Indiana Jones. You know, it's the closest thing we had to Indiana Jones in the 90s. A good family adventure that's just, you know, it's fun. It's got a couple of scary moments. It's just kind of, you know, when you're a kid, you know, your imagination runs wild. I mean, this was like, did Tomb Raider come out before this?
Ooh, I don't think so.
Was it 2001, maybe, the first one? Something like that. But, you know, Tomb Raider the game had come out, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that had kind of reinvigorated that longing for kids to want to be explorers and stuff, you know, that has kind of been lost since the 60s, 70s, I suppose, you know.
Oh, yeah.
This made kids want to be... Well, Tomb Raider made kids want to be explorers again. But this... captured that better than anything, honestly.
This made a bunch of little boys want to roll a bunch of guns up in a sleeping bag and then run it. Because, I mean, I've tried for years. I still can't find his badass ammo and gun bag,
yeah.
The one that unrolls.
Right, right.
I want that for equipment, and I can't find it. You got to make it. Yeah. Fuck you. Goo.
And it's not gory. Like moments like that, we cut away and everything. It's family friendly horror.
Yeah, and I mean, even when we see juiciness,
it's still it's not gory.
It's not blood.
Yeah, it's gross.
Uh-huh.
It's the Goonies kind of level of gore and horror, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So, to make this more fun for you for listening for the next 2 hours, you don't have to drink, but
we
certainly
do.
Will. One of us is going to be drunk as a skunk, the other one's going to be baked as a cake, so enjoy.
Yeah, I mean, that may have to be you, though, because I did not...
Oh.
No, tonight we're
You're
just
gonna
drinking.
You're going to be drinking, finally.
Yeah, we're just drinking and watching a movie.
You got to go through more than you usually do, though. Cause.
Yeah, basically.
I am drinking Bud Light because I went through all my Fosters last time with the Lord of the Rings. You are on your Yuengling because you're a creature of habit.
I am.
What are you bringing for your shots for our favorite moments?
I still have to think about my favorite moment, but my shot is the vodka peach.
That you insist on leaving here every time.
Yeah, because, I mean, after we tried it last time, I thought making it ice cold make it better. No, makes it just as bad, only now it's ice cold. And I don't even want that anywhere. I do not want that 50 feet, like, away from my house.
So please, leave it with me.
Absolutely.
So for the next, like, 10 weeks, we're just going to gradually whittle down this bottle. See, I'm mixing it up every week. So this week, I have a treat. I have this box of Twisted Shots, which are like two liquors in the same glass for well-designed, like...
Whiskey and vodka, or is it like fruity and enjoyable two different liquors?
A little bit of both. It depends, because there's not many left. But okay. The glass itself is kind of... It's got a partition to kind of separate the two. So okay. It's got a little tinfoil thing you pull up. Now... What made me think about this for this movie? Well, you'll notice it's very faded from the sun. This was actually... I think I bought this before I moved over here. So we're talking 2013.
Oh, shit.
And like The Mummy, it's caked in dust in the back of my liquor cabinet. And I don't know what it's going to be like. So this is going to be... In fact, some of it may have even evaporated through the foil, which I don't even know how that's scientifically possible.
And he calls me out for my peach mango vodka.
Well, this is the third time you've pulled out the same
trick. Now we're both supplying something we won't enjoy.
Yeah, variety is the spice of life.
Yeah.
So we've got... Now, the thing is, I'd like us to both take the same shot, obviously, so we're kind of on par with each other. And the only thing I have two of left is the Blazing Apple. This is like... I bought this... There's a pack of like 15 here. This is because it came out for my Advent mini bar. You know?
Uh-huh.
So this is an easy way to knock out a bunch of different shots in one. So Blazing Apple will be apple and cinnamon. I don't like apple. And thanks to this podcast, I'm not a big fan of cinnamon either. Are you down?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
All right. So yeah, I just kind of had my own little archaeological discovery in the back of my bar. And I figured, well, seems pretty apt for this movie.
A
little blast from the past, if you will.
yeah, they're probably going to be horrible, but cinnamon is going to be better than that fucking peach mango vodka,
absolutely.
Regardless of how much the apple sucks.
So I'm still not the biggest asshole here.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Absolutely.
So now we cut to 1923.
With the French Foreign Legion.
Yeah, sure, yeah. Totally. And then we're going to cut 3 years later, I think, right, to the movie. Because,
yeah,
this is... And then he gets disgraced and thrown in jail and shit. That's right.
Benny. Where's Benny? This guy, Odette Fair. Love this guy.
This guy is fantastic. He was originally supposed to have tattoos all over his face, but the guy's like, no, he's too pretty, he's too handsome, you can't disguise his whole face.
I mean, did you see him in Resident Evil?
A little bit. The only other thing from this, other than this, I know him from, is a TV show called Sleeper Cell on Showtime. And it came out around the time of 24. It's a similar kind of concept. It's like terrorists and stuff. It's really fucking good. He plays like the leader of the cell. But he's just so kind of suave and charismatic and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic show. It got like two seasons, I think. But great fucking show. Great actor.
Yeah, and Benny.
Almost steals the show from Brendan Fraser, honestly, in terms of like who's the coolest guy in this movie.
Yeah, okay, well, wait, rephrase that. Brendan Fraser is still the most charismatic out of the two, but Odette Fair, he's that cool, like, mysterious dude.
Yeah, yeah.
But Brendan Fraser's our leading man.
Yeah, Brendan Fraser's the fun guy in the bar.
But if the leading man dies, you know the Magi dude is the guy that's going to take care of business.
Yeah. He's the guy in the corner of the bar, ready to steal your woman when you go to the restroom.
Fuck yeah, he is, bro. But then Benny, the only thing that I had known Benny from before this movie was Lord of Illusions.
Don't even know that one.
It is a horror movie. Basically, Benny plays a stage magician.
Oh, okay,
that,
of course.
Like, dies during his stage show, but he doesn't because he faked his death. But the big thing, it's also got Scott Bakula from Quantum Leap in it. He's like the good guy.
Right.
And Benny's a magician. But what everybody doesn't know is the reason his show's so good is because he is actually doing magic. It's a horrible 80s movie.
Of course.
But it's, I mean, he's good in it.
The only things I know him from are other Stephen Sommers movies. After this, he is in the Van Helsing movie. You remember that debacle?
Yeah, that
was plays bad. He plays Igor, like Frankenstein's assistant or thing.
Yeah.
Which is a perfect role for him. He's also in... so before this, I think Stephen Sommers' biggest movie before this, it's a really campy kind of B-horror movie, Deep Rising? Yeah, Deep Rising. Ever heard of it?
Uh-uh.
I remember renting it like after this came out, so it was fun. I mean, it's if you need to kind of be in the same mindset of movies like this mm-hmm. and Anaconda and stuff in order to enjoy. It's about these terrorists who hijack a cruise ship, except before they can get on the cruise ship, the ship's already taken over by these, like, sea-dwelling tentacle monsters or something.
Okay.
So they hijack the ship, and then they find there's already monsters that have kind of killed everybody already and shit. It's got Treat Williams and shit. Like, it's a real fucking
Treat?
Yeah.
From The Substitute?
Yeah. It's a... And he... Yeah, it's like a...
In Summer School? No, that was Gibbs from NCIS. I'm sorry.
It's a big, campy, B-movie horror action. And, it was the last movie he did before this, so clearly they saw enough in it to be like, hey, do this.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't think... Yeah, I never knew he really got much work outside of being in all his friends' shit, you know?
Yeah. And the only reason Brendan Fraser's in this is because he had just done George of the Jungle.
Yes, which really kind of catapulted him into the spotlight, I think.
And surprisingly, the first one was entertaining.
Yeah. Again, good fun. Just good campy quality fun.
It did not need any sequels.
So I knew him from George of the Jungle, but did you ever... I mean, you bring up Blast from the Past, and...
I knew him from Encino Man.
Oh, that's even before where I was looking. Like, is that before or after Airheads?
Sure it's before. It's before, because he is a kid in it.
Okay.
It's where... what's his name from... from Lord of the Rings, not Frodo, but...
Sam?
Yeah.
Sean Astin?
I'm pretty sure it's Sean Astin and Pauly Shore, and they dig up a frozen Brendan Fraser from the Ice Age in their back their pool.
Yeah, I think I didn't know it was called that, but I do know the movie you're talking about now.
Encino Man, it was good.
So yeah, we knew Brendan Fraser a little bit before this, but this is what catapulted him into what should have been the spotlight, the limelight, and then he just kind of squandered it, I think, you know? Because after this, he did... He did Bedazzled, which is good. It's fine. I wrote down some of his missteps, but like the Looney Tunes back in time or back in action movie.
Yeah, back in action.
He did something else as well. That was like, ooh, not a good move. I don't know. I'll find it. Give me a second.
He also did The Mummy 2 and The Mummy 3, right? And then he bowed out of the franchise?
Yeah, well, the franchise bowed out, basically.
Yeah. That. Well, I mean, they still put out shitty Scorpion King movies.
Oh, that's true. That's true. I forget about those.
Yeah. That's not the spinoff we wanted.
No. But it's the spinoff we deserved.
Yeah. I wanted a spinoff with the Magi.
Yeah. That would have been cool. Where the fuck? Still going back here. So I want to come back to something else in a second.
That's such a cool shot.
Dudley Do-Right. That was it. Do you remember the Dudley Do-Right
Holy
movie?
Shit, yeah.
Yeah, this was... He went into The Mummy, and then he did Dudley Do-Right. What a sharp rise and fall, like, so quick.
Yeah, bro.
And that kind of hurt him, definitely. Thankfully, like, this movie got the sequels greenlit the day it opened, so he already knew he was going to kind of bounce back. But again, after that, didn't really do much to capitalize on it.
Mm-hmm. And he was also in Journey to the Center of the Earth, right?
Yeah, that was a while ago, though. That was a while later,
yeah.
Right? That was like 2000... God, I didn't
That was him coming
it.
Back, and
yeah.
then it just didn't work out.
He's the king of the comeback, but he never actually... He just comes back, and that's it. He doesn't keep going.
Yeah.
He's just like, I did it. And
consistency is key, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. Journey to the Center of the Earth was the same I think it came out the same day as the third Mummy movie, actually.
Oh, God.
Yeah, way to capitalize, man. I mean, what a great choice and a terrible choice all in one day.
Yeah, basically.
Can you imagine having those numbers coming in?
That would suck, bro.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you have the good numbers and the shitty numbers back to back, so yeah. I guess, like, it's two steps backwards, three steps forward, I guess.
Yeah, sure.
Maybe.
Yeah, it's still a net loss. And then Inkheart, I heard very good things about that, actually.
Inkheart was fucking amazing. Yeah. I had forgotten about that movie. That movie's great.
And after that, he has a small role in G.I. Joe, which we won't count. But after that, his next full movie is Furry Vengeance. I'm telling you, man, this guy's like track record is like the heart monitor at a hospital. It's super sharp, up and down, up and down.
Yeah.
Man.
Now, we're about to be introduced to Evie's brother.
Yes. With a jump scare.
Yeah. Now, he is an English dude.
He is. He clearly was on a TV show called Cold Feet. That's the only thing I knew him from, which is also where Helen Baxendale, the chick who played Ross's girlfriend that they get married to in Friends.
Mm.
You know, they were both on that show. So I only knew him from this. You may know him from Spartacus as well, since this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He's the guy who gets all the fucking with Lucy Lawless and everything.
But other than this and Spartacus, I don't
not
recall
much.
Him.
He's in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. now, actually, the Marvel TV show.
Oh. But, that was him in the preview? Oh, okay.
Yeah, he plays a scientist or something.
Is he a bad guy or a good guy, or do we know?
He's a morally ambiguous guy, I think.
Oh, so a little
really
bit of both.
I haven't really watched the last season of that show, actually. He's great in this. He just kind of...
he's morally ambiguous
yeah,
here, too.
Yeah, yeah. He's kind of like the butler, I guess, you know? Just in terms of the things he says, and, you know, he's just kind of along for the ride. He's just there to kind of make little asides and observations as they're going. You know? Doesn't really add anything.
He's like Alfred. If Alfred is funny and didn't actually do anything.
Yeah, if Batman one day was like, Alfred, why don't you come with me this time? Uh-huh. And takes him out for... You just imagine Alfred just be bumbling through the scene and, you know...
Yeah, peanut gallery in the back.
Yeah, exactly.
Why are you talking like that, Bruce? Why are you talking like that, Bruce? More what it's like.
Yeah.
I like the Michael Caine Alfred, but I like the Alfred in Gotham more. Alfred's got like special forces like training in the past, and
he's not afraid to punch a kid and shit.
Yeah, well, the old Alfred that we know in the movies acts like old Grandpa Alfred.
Yeah.
Young Alfred acts like, okay, I'm not this kid's father, but he needs a father figure. You know, like,
it's fair.
I wouldn't fuck with young Alfred. Old Alfred, I would, like, move shit around and, like, hide his glasses just to fuck with him. Now, is Bembridge an actual, like, Bembridge scholars don't exist? Is that, like, their movie equivalent of, like, Cambridge?
I guess so.
Okay.
I've never heard of it, but
I
it's
just
got
figured
a bridge
you're English.
It.
You
it's got a bridge. I would not be surprised. She's way too peppy, I think.
Yeah.
Just watching this again. But, you know, you have to embrace the campiness of it.
Yeah. I'm going to get it as close to the candle as possible.
Oh, this guy.
He's looking directly at the fire. You saw that shit? He's like, ooh, this is a... When you see the end of the movie, you'll understand this was intentional. But he was looking directly at the edge that he was burning.
Absolutely. So just go to the part that's burnt off. I don't get...
Yeah.
That slows you down, you know?
Yeah.
Now we don't know where it is. Well, just follow the map to the scorch marks, and you're there.
Basically, yeah. Now, this apparently is actually an apartment building.
It is, yes. And I love how the entire place is powered by people on hamster wheels. this movie was shot in Marrakesh, is that right? Because Egypt was too politically unstable to shoot
in. Yeah, Morocco, so. And back in Europe.
Yeah.
He grew a lot of hair in 3 years.
This is his George of the Jungle look.
Uh-huh.
And she kind of looks like Jane, so...
Broad, do they not use that? They totally use that.
We don't know what that means. No, we say bird.
Even back in the 20s?
Probably.
I mean, because if you said bird here and you were talking about that bird, I would, even if I didn't say bird, I'd just deduce that you were talking about a woman.
Sure. She's so condescending.
Yeah.
We found your little puzzle box.
She's talking to him all slow.
Yeah.
I'm wondering where the bathroom is. The girl's French, not dumb. Shut up. Like that. Oh.
Worth it.
Yeah. Those tall hats in the back, man. Mm. Fucking, I would wear those on the regular if I could get one to match every outfit.
Mm-hmm. just while I'm thinking about it as well, just wrapping up his like past performances, you know what I really like him in? Scrubs.
Yeah.
He does a really good performance in Scrubs, like the 3 episodes he's in or something. That last one, where, spoilers, the character's dead the whole time. Man, that made me tear up.
Bedazzled.
Yeah.
With Elizabeth Hurley.
Yeah.
Movie's kind of funny.
We mentioned that one.
Mm-hmm. We did?
Yeah.
Wow.
It came out like right after Dudley Do-Right, but before Mummy 2.
Yeah, I totally missed that.
So this scene's interesting. He apparently almost fucking dies. And apparently this was also the first scene they shot.
I'm pretty sure he did die. Didn't he have to be resuscitated?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, that
counts. For all intents and purposes, he died for a few seconds. All right,
so Brendan Fraser died during the filming of this scene. And I don't know exactly how it went wrong, but clearly he's hanging from his neck and everything. So there's ways that can go wrong. And had to be resuscitated and everything. This is the first day of shooting. I don't know about you, but I would say that this movie's pretty fucking cursed at that point. We're watching a man die right now. This guy's a popular comic in the UK as well, or at least he was back around this time, the 90s. I think this is his first movie. I couldn't tell you what he's in. I have to say, the CGI is very jarring in this movie already, and we haven't even got to the part where there's a guy fucking walking around interacting with the actors. It's got the same problem as Star Wars, where everything is a lot softer. Boy cleans up good.
He cleans up incredibly well.
Did you know Leonardo DiCaprio was interested in the role, but he'd already committed to The Beach? Because this would have been right after Titanic, and he was kind of blowing up as well.
Uh-huh.
He wanted to do it, but he'd already signed on to do The Beach, which I haven't seen.
Like, ever?
Never seen it, no.
Wow. It's Lord of the Flies in Thailand.
That's what I kind of gathered, yeah. It's kind of a horror or something.
Yeah, it's not bad. The ending is kind of meh. Like, the last 20 minutes just kind of throw away all this wonderful work that you did for like the previous hour and 20. But it's good.
Yeah. And he's doing okay now anyway, so he didn't
Leo?
Yeah, he
didn't. He's part of the Pussy Posse.
He didn't need to be in this.
Yeah, he doesn't need anything. Yeah. Leo doesn't even need to work anymore. He just works because Scorsese calls him and's like, hey, are you bored? I'm bored. Let's hang out.
Is he going to be in, Scorsese's just doing a, just said he's doing a Netflix movie, right? With like Pacino and De Niro and...
He's not in that one, I don't think.
He'll be in there at some point, you know.
I mean, maybe.
You fucking know it.
But he is starring as H.H. Holmes, the American serial killer that built the hotel complete with like ramps and beds that would fall into the basement.
Yes.
And the hotel from American Horror Story Hotel is based kind of on that story.
Makes sense.
It's one of the influences. But I'm very excited to see Leo play an absolute fucking psychopath murdering people. Because the closest we got to that was him in Django Unchained, and he was really good in that.
Yeah.
He's really good. And all the Americans that he's hanging out with are not Brendan Fraser, because he's leading man status, but the other ones are such stereotypes.
Yeah.
They're such stereotypes. Like, nowadays, the Americans would be, like, fat and eating burgers.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I guess that's what the rest of the world thinks we do. I mean, that is kind of what we do.
That is your MO.
Yeah. Look at that. Is that not dope as shit?
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Be nice to just kind of roll that out to the gig or something. Just have everything you need ready to go.
Bro, yeah. Keeps everything nice and then everything spread out and organized when you roll it out.
A place for everything, everything for a place.
Yeah. But, like, look how intricate that is. There's no way to just buy a fucking luggage roll like that. Like, you have to build it.
So why don't you?
That looks like a lot of leather and canvas, bro, and I can't sew leather whatsoever.
And you're a poet, and you don't even know it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just gonna sit here and polish my gun.
I mean, he could be in his room polishing other things too, but that shotgun's pretty cool. Oh, storm off. Yeah, find them wet footprints. Find that shit.
Move the plot forward.
Oh, his little buddy Benny. See, I don't like Benny's little red hat. I like the tall purple ones from earlier.
Right.
It's got to be taller. It's got to be, like, more than Doctor Who tall. That looks like an overly large yarmulke.
He plays a very good creep.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, he's a fucking... He's the creepy bad guy in Lord of Illusions. Like, he... Mm-hmm. I'm okay with typecasting him as either a bad guy or a drug addict.
Yeah, he's just got that look about him.
Yeah.
I saw pictures of him recently, and with, like, he's got a very... they seem subdued here. He's got dazzling eyes, it seems now. But they're very kind of wide and sunken, and he looks like a crackhead in times.
Yeah, bro. Yeah, some people just have really deep eyes that always look like they're smoking meth.
Yeah.
And he's really gummy right there.
Yeah, especially. Him and Brad Dourif. Play, like, could only play creeps, I think.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Like, there needs to be an Expendables-style movie of just creepy people. Like, a gang of killers or something, and it's all played by Hollywood's biggest creeps.
Yeah. I just started watching a show on Netflix, Something in Leonard. I forget the first name, but it's this dude and this older white guy and this older black dude in the 80s that live in Texas. The black dude's gay and a Vietnam vet. The white dude chose not to go and did, like, prison time, and they're, like, best friends, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Solving crimes and making money and shooting people. But that guy, the black guy, has this huge... He looks fucking, like, fierce because he has this big scar going from his forehead down his face. He was Omar on The Wire.
Uh-huh.
At the beginning of his career, he was a backup dancer. And then in a bar, he got into a fight and somebody pulled a razor and cut down his face. And much like that Irish dude that was in Smokin' Aces and Sons of Anarchy, you rock the scar.
Uh-huh.
And now you immediately turn into a badass.
Yeah. Just make it work.
Yeah, bro. Yeah, that seems like a career-ending injury, and instead he just willingly went to certain kinds of roles.
Yeah, just which embraced
is Yeah, which is why when I watch him on Netflix now, and he is a sassy gay Vietnam vet that's actually kind of nice, it's really weird because you're
It's refreshing.
It's like when you see somebody typecast nonstop, and then they can all of a sudden like play a, like when you saw Tom Hanks in Road to Perdition. That's the first time he had ever played a bad guy, and it caught everybody off guard.
Mm-hmm. Or when Liam Neeson in Taken can play a badass all of a sudden.
Yeah, who knew? Yeah. I had no idea that he punched a kid when he was a teacher.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Liam Neeson kicked a kid's ass.
I like that shot here.
Yeah.
And that was a last-minute decision. Stephen Sommers came up with the idea like the day before shooting it.
It's so good. It feels like if you were on set shooting this movie, especially during sequences like this, or even the ones that were on the set in like Europe when they're like in the crypt, you know? They just seem like they had to be so much fun to do. You're not acting. You are adults playing like your children.
Yeah, you're playing cowboys and Indians. It's great.
Yeah.
And getting paid like hundreds of thousands of dollars for it.
Yeah, bro. Yeah.
And spending millions of dollars on the best sets and the biggest special effects.
Like adult dramas like feel like they're work. But movies like this, man, no way.
Just seems like everyone had such a great time making it. Except the part where, you know, you almost die on the first day because of the hanging.
Was that the first? Well,
first day of shooting.
Because of the long hair.
Oh, is that what it was?
I don't know, maybe. Did he have long hair when he
was hung?
Was that the first? Yeah, he totally had long hair when he was hung.
Yeah, yeah.
Was that really his hair or was that a wig?
I don't know. That would make sense if it was his real hair, especially if he just came off of doing like George of the Jungle.
Yeah, why not shoot those few scenes first and then just...
Then dress him up and pretty him up and everything.
Logistically, that seems to make sense, but life is never that easy.
Yeah, it's weird how movies will not do that. They will cut an actor's hair, get them like how they look for most of the movie, and then they'll just throw a wig on them or beard extensions for these... This other half of the movie that takes place in the... I don't know, it's weird.
And when those few movies that do shoot in order, that's got to be a headache.
Yeah.
God, that's got to be a headache.
Rachel... How do you say her last name?
Rachel
Weisz?
I guess.
So she got thrown into the drink here, and she had a... Yeah, here we go. She's wearing a white... nightgown. There's some digital manipulation going on there.
To cover her nips?
Yeah.
Like
painted out and everything in each frame.
Okay, yeah, I'd believe it.
Mm-hmm.
There is no white fabric that is thick enough to not show me some nips. Although, I see a slight black...
I see some laziness going on from the digital department there.
I don't see hard nipples, but I saw like outline of areola. That's what it's called, right?
Outline of areola. That's a fantastic band.
Is that
band.
The outside
That's
of the nipple?
That's a band's name right there. Yeah.
It's not... Aioli is flavored mayonnaise, right? And areola is the outer part of your nipple.
That makes sense. I'd buy it, yeah.
Okay.
So this movie always confuses me about the order of things. Like, I get confused between what happens in this one and what happens in The Mummy Returns.
Well, in The Mummy Returns, they have a little kid...
Yeah, but there's a couple of set pieces in this movie. Like, I know at one point they take a plane, right? And it crashes, and it sinks in the sand.
Uh-huh.
See, I thought for the longest time, I thought that happened in the second movie for some reason.
The second one is when they have the big
blimp. Right? Yeah. And I just kind of remembered that today, but I always get confused between the two. Also, when they're in the city... They're escaping and they're in the car and they kind of drive.
Which city, Cairo or Hamunaptra?
It's after the mummy's been...
So the city that people actually live in.
Yeah.
Cairo.
Yeah.
Okay.
and they drive a car through a bunch of people, right? Or like the zombified servant minions of Imhotep once he's kind of brainwashed everybody, you know?
Uh-huh.
Does that happen in this one as well? Or is that in the second one? And then they kind of jump down a manhole or something?
I know. I think that the manhole thing is here, because in the second one, their big automobile chase, like the big showpiece one, was with the double-decker because it's in London.
That's correct. I think that's right.
And it has that shitty fucking The Rock.
Well, I was hoping we would get further in before we have to start talking about that, but...
Yeah, I mean, and the opening scene was great. The Anubis soldiers were awesome. It was just the fact that you made a CG torso and head of The Rock before you should have, when, in fact, you could have done Scorpion body and then just thrown his, like, torso onto that.
Very easily. Could have very easily been done.
Yeah.
Okay, it might not have looked as seamless, but his face and him would have held up so much better.
At least any fucking close-ups, give me real, like, Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah.
Don't close up on your weird...
Yeah, there's a bunch of shots where you don't even see the Scorpion body.
Yeah.
Very true.
The Magi.
So those bad guys that attacked the boat, are they bad Magi?
No, those are good Magi, but they were trying to keep them from going to Hamunaptra.
Right.
The Magi, their whole job is to make sure nobody wakes up Imhotep. They've been there for thousands of years just doing that.
Right.
So they knew you had a map. Her boss is a member. You know, so they've known about this. He's like, hey guys, I burned off the corner, but I'm pretty sure they're still going for it. Maybe handle this.
So they go and stake out the place.
Yeah.
This is some really bad day for night footage, by the way.
Yeah, because when they did that, didn't they do that take the same time that they did the first scene where the Magi are all up on the cliff?
Yes, that's right. Which, as we saw when he was running away, was like full-blown day. Also, this is some interesting backdrop as well. Notice how everything gets a lot fuzzier around their hats.
Yeah.
1999 for you.
That sky looks pretty iffy. Mm-hmm. It looks like the few Bob Ross paintings that weren't snowy and blue sky. It totally does. It looks like a Bob Ross sky.
And now we're just going to paint a happy little Beelzebub over here.
Make a happy little one and don't forget to make the sound. It won't work if you won't make the sound. And in this world, you have complete control. Anything that you can imagine is possible. You've heard the theory that Bob Ross is a serial killer, right? And all the paintings that he did were paintings of where he buried the bodies?
No, that's an interesting theory. Is he still alive?
No, he's dead. He's actually buried over in Gotha. He's okay. Buried here in town. I'd go to his grave and like drop off paint and shit. Fucking, I'm not the only one. The grave always have art supplies and like canvases on it.
So if you're a struggling artist in the Orlando area...
Yeah, go to Bob Ross's grave, see if you can heist some shit. And why is the sky normal again? Oh, because the sun moved and now you can see the city. I get it.
Derp.
Peace out, dumbass. Damn. I wonder if that stunt guy thought at any moment, I'm about to take a hoof to the head. Hoof to the head, hoof to the head.
Just a split second away.
Didn't a stunt guy die in like the last, not the one that's coming out, but the last Fast and the Furious that came out? Or a stunt girl? Didn't she get like, if she didn't die, didn't she get horribly maimed?
Last Transformers that came out.
Okay.
Someone lost their arm, I think.
Okay, so if you are a stunt performer and you do dangerous shit like that, enough people have died or been injured while shooting movies that you know that's, like, a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to know what their insurance coverage is.
Some stunts, like single stunts you do, sometimes the insurance is like $1 million. Easily.
Wow.
and that's not even like a recent number. That's like stunts, like, you know, back then in the 2000s and stuff when movies were going on.
Like, now it's a little easier because we have seen... I mean, even in J.J. Yeah. Abrams' TED Talk, he shows the first scene of Star Trek, and he pauses it, and he goes, 20 years ago, we would have had to kill a stunt guy to get that shot.
Mm-hmm.
It's true.
I love how he's like, we would have killed a stunt guy if we'd have tried that shot. No, no. We would have had to kill a stunt guy.
To get that shot.
Yeah.
There's no ifs, ands, or buts. We're getting my fucking shot.
We're getting that shot. And if someone's got to die...
it's probably got to be you, stunt guy.
Yeah. Well, then they knew why they got into this business.
Borrowed. That word, I do not think it means what you think it means. I love how when the Americans catch him, though, he pulls the gun, like, immediately. Like, he fucking knows he's been caught, but fuck it, you're not getting your shit back. And this fat guy... I know there. I don't know his name. That's the fat guy sounded better than this Middle Eastern gentleman because that sounds even more.
Yeah, that's a touchy subject. Just call the man fat.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in America, the majority of people are fat, so I feel like I can get away with that.
Mm-hmm.
The fat guy. This is his first movie role.
Yes, correct. I was talking about that while you were holding your penis and.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, if you shake it more than twice, you're playing with it, and I always like play. Just saying.
he's a British stand-up comedian, and especially around this sort of time, but yeah, this was his first movie.
He did. So he's British, he's just an...
Well, he's British-Iranian.
Okay.
He lived in the UK, and that's where he got his start, and... He had a couple of shows and definitely some stand-up performances and specials in the UK.
Was he really famous there or just kind of working?
Famous enough. I mean, he had like a TV show with his name on it and everything for a hot second. And I think he had a TV show where he had like a bunch of people playing his... I think... Fuck, I have to do some looking up now. I think this guy had a TV show where he had a bunch of other... like actors and comedians that would play his family, and they all lived in this like really small flat in the UK.
Okay.
But it was a talk show, and they run the show out of their apartment with these like big celebrities that come in. So it's kind of like when like Borat or Ali G would do an interview with a celebrity, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of the butt of the joke as well at the same time.
Yeah.
Kind of like I think it's the same guy.
I saw Mr. Bean interviewing Elton John recently.
Mr. Bean or Rowan Atkinson?
Rowan Atkinson.
Okay.
Interviewing Elton John.
That would be a funny gag.
The whole time he was telling him, like, the second question was about, did you ever think about naming yourself John Elton? Because it makes more sense. John is a Christian name. It is a first name. Elton is not a first name. And he harps on it for like a hot minute. And Elton John is like watching Between Two Ferns when the celebrity's the butt of the joke.
Starts to grate on him, you can tell.
Yeah, but like at the end of it, he takes out like a fake gun and bang and kills Rowan Atkinson. And it's really funny, but like I just love watching celebrities when they are the butt of the joke and you know that they are working towards that goal just as much as the interviewer.
Right.
Because if you take yourself too seriously... You know, that can't be good.
You come off as a dick anyway.
And also, if you're fucking loaded and you're famous, why should you be a dick? You should just be enjoying... I mean, I get, like, not wanting to take pictures of people if they keep on accosting you. Like, I get that. Mm-hmm. I understand, like, those celebrities that are like, no, and then go to cons and charge people, like, $100 to take a photo with them.
Yeah.
That's fucking fine, you know? But if you happen to run into somebody in public and they don't want a picture with you, they just want to say hi, if they're nice, try and be nice back. You don't want to take a picture. You don't want to stop. fucking tell him. I'm not, I mean, even Jason Segel. Have you seen Jason Segel the other day? He was talking about how he deals with fans all the time, but he doesn't take selfies with people. He will not take photos with people. Mm. He'll do a walking video, a walking selfie.
Okay.
So he takes their phone from them.
Yeah.
And then he just turns on the video selfie towards him and just starts walking.
Okay.
And the person walks beside him and he doesn't say anything. Okay. Eventually the people get really awkward because he doesn't stop walking. He makes it get really, really awkward and they start narrating. So we're taking a walking video with Jason Segel, you know,
right.
And then trying to get your phone back from giant size Jason Segel is also
you kind of regret asking it in the end.
Yeah, but he was on a talk show recently talking about it, and then they showed one of the walking videos that shows up, and I got on YouTube. There's a bunch of them. It is his running gag. He still has not acknowledged the guy that's eating a picture of Jason Segel every day until Jason has not acknowledged him yet. I'm pretty sure that dude's at like day 40.
Holy crap.
He's getting really fast, though, at eating a piece of paper with a picture on it.
I think I made an accidental racism, by the way, because I don't see this that show I was talking about. I don't see it under the guy's resume at all.
Oh, yeah, then you might have just, they all look the same.
Yeah.
I just started
another
watching...
Another fat British Iranian had moderate success in the UK.
Another one. How many do y'all have? A lot? A
at
handful?
Least two, apparently.
Okay, fair.
And enough to add on to his family.
I just started watching Hello, Hello, the British show that takes place in a... You remember that?
Yeah,
from like 82 to like 91?
Holy crap, yeah.
It's on Netflix now.
No way.
Yeah, so I watched the first episode and I thought it was going to be terrible just because of how old it was and how fuzzy it is, and old sitcoms are normally kind of crap.
Yeah.
But because it's not a current old sitcom, it is a sitcom that takes place in a time that was already 50 years in the past.
Mm.
It all seems to... It doesn't age as bad because of its, like, time frame that it takes place in.
Mm-hmm.
But holy shit, if that isn't funny and way more offensive than I anticipated a 30-year-old British comedy to be.
Yeah. Our humor was a little more progressive than over here.
Yeah, and also I love that they are speaking, because it's an English-made show that mm-hmm. takes place in a French cafe during Axis-occupied France in World War II... When the French characters that are all English actors, when they are speaking, they're speaking English, but with a French accent. Later on in the first episode, two Americans that the French resistance is trying to save and hide in this French like cafe or whatever, they show up, and they're British. They're two British soldiers in France. Keep in mind, all the French characters are speaking English, heavily accented in French.
Mm-hmm.
The British guys show up. The English actors say shit in English, but with a French accent, and then the British guys, with their British accent, are like, wait, what did he say? I don't speak French. And so watching French people and English people have this failure in communication when they're all speaking the same language is really, really fun.
That's interesting. That's a funny way to do it.
Yeah, and also, they're French, but speaking English with a French accent for ease of storytelling.
Yeah.
I dig when movies do that, so you're not... Start with subtitles and then get rid of the subtitles. I don't want to have to keep looking down the whole time.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't.
We're talking to you, Mel Gibson.
Yeah, bro. Yeah. That Apocalypto and Passion bullshit. And I'm not
going to... I go to movies to watch things, not to read.
Yeah, if I wanted to read, I'd read a book or the newspaper. No, actually, I'd just get on the internet. Although, I'm not going to lie. As an atheist who doesn't really believe in... religion whatsoever, Passion of the Christ was a fucking dope ass movie, bro.
Mm.
The moment he was getting whipped with a cat of nine tails and blood and flesh is flying, I'm not even really, as far as I'm concerned, that book didn't even happen. Jesus was a real dude with good teachings, but I'm pretty sure the miracles, from my perspective, might not have been a thing, and I was still tearing up like I was like super church going and shit, when, because you don't want to watch somebody that an innocent person getting all fucked up for no reason.
Yeah,
those evil Romans, bro. Oh, see, now they're here just murdering the shit out of people if they can.
That's what I was saying. I'm like, wait, so these are the good guys? But it's really, I guess it's just... it's really just Omar's character that's a... He's just the good one, I guess, who kind of sees a different way, other than trying to just stop what they're doing just by force and violence and threats and whatnot. He's the one who kind of reaches out to them to be like... Well, first of all, I mean, he really only starts talking to them when he's like, what the fuck have you done? Right?
Uh-huh. He didn't even get a name till the second movie.
That's true, yeah.
Well, honestly, though, this is the third interaction they've had with those guys. Mm-hmm. It feels... The first time was the burning of the map. Even though they don't know they've interacted with them, it feels like, number one, her boss was trying to stop that shit before it got out of hand. The second one, on the boat, they tried a little less violence. This third one, the people are at the city. They got to go in guns blazing.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'd like to see our friend John do a cosplay of this. Of this guy here.
Hell yeah.
Isn't it just perfect?
Yeah.
Just get some little, like, some face paint on the cheeks.
Just do the little stencil, because I don't know if you know this, but they sell Oded Fair. They sell his Magi costume, like, as a costume. You can buy the stencils for his face tattoos.
Fucking course you can. But yeah, our friend John looks exactly like that. And right now he's all about the Jesus cosplay from The Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess for a little bit, Aragorn as well. Mm-hmm. He pulls off. But looking at him, looking at Omar in this character, in this movie, I'm like, it's a spot on face.
I would rather have him cosplay as him in the second movie when he's not wearing nothing but super flowy robes the whole time.
Yeah.
And also, you'd need somebody that could play O'Connell.
Yeah, because otherwise...
Oded by himself is...
You'll get a couple of laughs and recognition.
O'Connell by himself could be Nathan Drake, could be an abundance of people.
Any adventurer.
But together...
Could be a really lazy Han Solo, honestly.
Yeah, a period Han Solo.
Yeah, with the way the jacket is and everything, yeah.
Yeah, but
next
together...
Next to each other,
mm-hmm.
They could rule the galaxy.
Yeah, bro. She's drunk.
I'm not getting drunk enough, man. I gotta speed this up a bit.
You picked up that thing, and I thought you were picking up a remote to fast forward the movie. Like, that would help you get drunker quicker.
I'm just, let me fast forward myself. Get another hour into this. A lot of her costumes are very sheer.
Yeah, they are. Well, I mean, if you're out in the desert...
Makes sense.
You'd kind of want her to be comfy.
You make a very good point.
You know, like, O'Connell's shirt, does that look like linen? Or is that thick-ass cotton?
He's sweating buckets at whichever.
Yeah.
It looks thick as shit.
Uh-huh. What's your suit made out of? Is it wool?
Is it synthetic? It's not nice. It's real cheap, I know.
Off the rack, right?
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Definitely.
For real, bro, we live in Florida. You gotta just go to a Men's Warehouse or something and put on a linen jacket and just feel how you feel the wind blowing through it.
Yeah.
Oh my god. It's worth the extra like $150.
Oh, man, I get per diem for suits, but not that much. So I have a sneeze, like, trapped in my head. It's the worst fucking feeling right now.
Curse my ass. Speaking of my ass, I ate a lot of cheese today. I ate a whole lot of cheese today. I'm assuming that's not actual Egyptian.
No, you can tell by the little hieroglyphs of R2-D2 and C-3PO.
Yeah, the dad from Jumanji definitely does not speak ancient Egyptian.
Is that him? Oh, shit, that's where I recognize him
from. Yeah, the dad right. And the hunter. The hunter, yeah. With the blunderbuss.
Right.
Which, was he was way better as that dude and memorable.
Way more fun.
Than the. I mean, he was definitely a loving father in the last, like, 2 minutes of the movie, but...
Yeah. Man. It's like, I can't make up for...
Yeah. There's sometimes you just need to acknowledge that you were a shitty parent and then give your kid whatever the fuck it wants. That's not how it works, is it? No?
Oh, man, I read something today, and, man, this sucks I'm bringing this up right now when we get to the point where the mummy actually comes to life. But somebody, you know, the Boss Baby's coming out now?
Yeah.
With Alec Baldwin. It's like, it looks fucking terrible. And apparently it is from all the reviews. But somebody was talking about how their kid was asking about the movie. They want to go and see it. And they said, it's been cancelled, but it might come out on Netflix in a year or two. Now, that's... because it's the internet, it immediately went off in two directions. I'd say about a third of the people said, you, sir, are a goddamn genius. Well done. Like,
yeah,
that's a great way to not have to go and see that movie with your kid.
Mm-hmm.
And the other two thirds were like, man, you're a shitty parent because you're lying to your kid and they're going to find you out eventually if you keep doing that.
All those people that are saying you're a shitty parent, you're lying to your kid, there's a really good chance they have Christmas, Easter, you know, like, I'm pretty sure those, yeah, you may be lying to your kid about a movie, but realistically... There's a lot bigger things that you're lying to your kid about for way longer than that.
It's very true, but...
That is a small lie.
Yeah, but if those lies make your kid happy, you know? This lie makes your kid sad. And people are like, you know, you're going to really regret doing this like 5 or 10 years from now when your kid doesn't want to go and watch movies with you, you know? And like really bringing it down and everything. I was like, that's an interesting... It's an interesting school of thought.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because I can totally see it both ways. I know my parents, like, my dad took me to go and see movies that he did not give a fuck about, but he spent the time with me to go and, you know, go and see them. I probably wasn't even too jazzed about seeing this, to be honest, but I know he took me to go and see it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that's cool. He just wanted to spend the time with me.
If I had to go to the movies with my kid and it was a movie that I didn't give a shit about, just bring your headphones and plug in a podcast. You know? Oh, so this is off topic, but a friend of mine applied recently at a music-themed venue/restaurant destination. And you know how when you go to interviews, one of the questions they ask you is, why should I give you this job? Why should I hire you?
Sure.
His response was the most ballsy thing I've ever heard in my life, and he got a second interview because of it.
Okay.
I just don't think you have enough black guys in the front of the house. Is exactly what he said. You don't have enough black guys that are front of house. And the guy's like, you know what? You're right. Come in for another interview. So we don't know if he gets the job yet or not. Yeah, but exactly. I mean,
come in for another interview. Give me time to prepare for whatever the fuck you're going to do next.
Yeah.
Because you, sir, are a crazy motherfucker.
But if you say something like that and they don't not, if they decide, like, if you say something like that and they call you back in, clearly they didn't dislike you, you know, like, that is it. If you are not if your interview already wasn't good, that is an interview ending remark. Unless the rest of your interview was good already.
I don't know. I think it's like, it's really fucking like touchy waters. Like the interviewer probably feels like, well, shit, now if I don't hire you, I look like a racist.
So, yeah. But if all your black guys are working in the kitchen and you don't have any in the front of the house, maybe the person that's hiring has some preconceived notions about people and, you know?
That's fair.
So like... I don't know. Hopefully he gets a job.
Fair play to him for just like, yeah, that's a hell of a bomb to drop right there at the end.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, if your restaurant does not look super diverse in the front in a very diverse city like Orlando.
Very true.
That seems like brand, not brand awareness.
Brand damaging?
I mean, not having them. Yeah, kind of. Yeah, I mean... If you go anywhere and it's just a little too white, Even white people fucking notice that shit.
Yeah.
You know, like, if it's a little you don't need all that. We're in Orlando. The front of your venue should be just as diverse as the back and all the people that are coming in.
Certainly.
Just a thought.
Well said, sir.
But yeah, that's so ballsy. Yeah. Oh my God. Because you don't have enough black guys working in front of house.
Mic drop.
Yeah. Yeah. I would have just hired him there.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, and then been like, don't hate me. Don't call anybody on me. I'm hiring you now. We don't need anybody else involved.
I don't need your drama.
I don't need organizations. I like what you're doing. Let's go ahead and fix this problem before it becomes a problem.
Yeah. It's like in that, have you seen Ted?
Yeah.
He's like, tell me why I should hire you. He's like, you know. Like, I rub my dick all over the fruit this morning.
Yeah.
That takes guts. We need guts. You're hired. Shit like that.
Hey, man, I had a buddy go into an interview with shorts on and a Slayer t-shirt. And they asked him what he wanted for like back of house for like working on the line.
Yeah.
And they asked him what he wanted his starting pay to be. And he had been working in restaurants for years. He's like, starting pay, $12.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, why the fuck do you think we're going to pay you $12 to start? And they go, you came in here in shorts and flip-flops and a t-shirt. Why would I give you $12 an hour? And he goes, because I'm worth it. Got the job. Hey, man, I'm sure had you been shitty at your job within your first shift, they would have fired you. But
yeah, they would have got wise. But
walking in flip-flops and a t-shirt and shorts and then asking for... There's a level of confidence
that's
there. That,
yeah, yeah. That's
I don't fair. Even have that.
Yeah. My glasses. I can't see a thing without my glasses.
Oh, Benny, you're still neutral right now.
Not so much anymore.
Yep.
Nah, you're a dick.
You couldn't just pick him up? Couldn't just hold his hands and run? Now, I love the scene. I love the fuzzy, like, mummy in the back.
Yeah.
How you see it in the back. Oh, my God. This is such a good shot.
What is your favorite shot, by the way?
We
should probably decide that real quickly, because we're, like, halfway through the movie now.
I'll have to go with the plane with giant Imhotep face and shit.
Okay, that's a good one.
That's also the one where his ass kept showing.
Yes, yes, because they had to, with the making the sand fly up and shit.
Uh-huh.
All right. So, why do you like that shot? Because...
Well, no,
story,
I think it's a very cool, like, visual shot with the giant face swallowing the plane like it's a fly. Uh-huh. And then the Imhotep, his bare ass hanging out, is just really funny.
It's a funny visual, right?
Yeah. When the camera pans up, you can just imagine directly below this is Arnold Vosloo's bare ass.
All right.
And these scarabs. The flesh-eating scarabs is something that survived from a previous incarnation of this script back before Stephen Sommers or Brendan Fraser, anybody from this crew was involved.
Which, was that the George Romero one, or was that the...
It was after
Clive
George
Barker.
Romero. Clive Barker. It was in the Clive Barker one.
Which makes sense, because he was going after a much darker, grislier movie.
Yeah, and the idea behind those scarabs is the scarabs that were loaded into the sarcophagus with Imhotep, when they went down his throat and started to eat him, by eating him, thereby they are cursed as well.
And they are immortal, and they live forever. It's a nice little tie-in.
It's a nice little backstory that you would never find out in this movie or any of the other ones in this franchise.
Mm-hmm. Right, I'm going to go hold my penis for a second.
Yeah, you do your thing.
What my favorite part is.
Yeah, you do that, then I'm going to go drop some cheese. Oh, no. He took your eyes. Oh, no. So the CG mummy is definitely jarring. Definitely jarring. I feel like he looks best as he's crossing from shadow to light or light to shadow when he's like walking through the beams of light to get to her. That looks dope as shit. But he's pretty jarring. Oh, peace out, bruh. Later. The mummy's kind of jarring, bro. He still looks good when he's crossing, like, underneath, like, beams of light, changing from shadow to lit or from lit to shadow. But for real, I just feel like he's so... Look at that. It looks really dated.
Yeah. Just, it doesn't hold up well.
Yeah.
I just want to interrupt a second, because... Thankfully, I was already urinating, but there was a lizard in the bathroom, and it's run off somewhere in this direction under the door. You know those tiny little lizards we have here in Florida?
Oh, yeah.
Somewhere. It's somewhere around here, and I don't know where it is.
Every time I move here in Florida, I find lizards underneath, like, fridges or ovens or bookshelves or...
Man, done so well in this house. I haven't seen any spiders or anything, but there's a fucking little baby lizard flying around somewhere. Yeah, the graphics do not hold up great. But I'm going to be waiting and paying more attention to how they actually kind of... Sorry, it's been a while since I've seen this movie. I'm going to be watching how they interact with the mummy a lot more closely. Because this is one of the first instances of a movie where people are interacting with a character that's completely CG. Didn't really happen in... I guess it happened in Terminator 2 and, you know, The Abyss, but not to the extent of this where it's kind of moving like a human and it's in so many scenes as well. We had the Star Wars Special Edition, I know. That was 1997, but there was nothing really there that... That was all just additions to an existing movie. Fuck, where was the second... They were also doing the Star Wars prequel at this point as well, I guess. So that would have counted with Jar Jar and everything. But, yeah, that shot there, the eye lines don't start off great. It never quite goes as high up as it should do to meet with him. But I wonder if he was actually even in the shots in this. Like when Andy Serkis is in Lord of the Rings, they have him on set and to for reference and everything like that. It's very dated. That's a physical effect, you can very much tell. I sound like such a cunt because I'm all about the graphics whenever these old movies come on. Jurassic Park, Star Wars, this, but I want to say it's all about the story and the characters and the progression and the development, but no, graphics do take you out of a movie at a certain point. Like, if they are bad enough, it is enough, it's jarring enough to you can't suspend your disbelief enough for it at a point.
And I'm willing to suspend my disbelief on a mummy.
Yeah, if it holds up well.
Yeah.
You know?
Once he turns into Arnold Vosloo with like a rotted out cheek, we're good.
Plays a lot better, yeah. Definitely. But I almost want to be like, should they have started the other way and just kind of had him gradually decompose more and more? You know,
that would seem
the story wouldn't like it would make no sense in the story that they're going for.
Yeah.
The more he sucks off people, the more he kind of like regains his strength and everything, but. It seems strange to just kind of throw a character like that right up on the screen at such a early point, you know?
Imagine if sucking people off made you more powerful.
I thought it did.
I mean, what are you...
That's what you told me.
Oh, yeah. They're taking their life force, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Your testosterone.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, peace. Don't close that door. That's a bad idea, bro.
Oh.
Oh, look, we're at Epcot. Some bloody idiot. God. Do people still use bloody?
Yeah.
Like, frequently, or is it just kind of surviving?
I have some friends, like, my age who use bloody instead of fucking. I mean, fucking is just so much... I don't know, it just sounds like the right thing to say now in an argument, you know, or in a discussion.
It, I feel like bloody, fucking sounds weird when you have a British accent. I when British people, like, use, like, curse words that when they don't use British-isms, I'm surprised. Yeah. You know, it's weird.
But there are so many British isms that are just not cool. They don't hold up to. Cunt is the only one we still have. I think we own that.
Uh-huh.
But everything else has been usurped by something American.
God, I'm sorry. That's terrible, man.
Is that the Masked Magician?
Oh, yeah, Valentino? We killed him. He was already dead by then.
Threw him into a sarcophagi with flesh-eating bugs.
Oh, yeah, we threw him into a blade box that wasn't gimmicked. For real, though, we didn't actually commit murder, but when's the last time you even heard of that dude? Nobody booked him after that, man.
And for my next trick, I'm going to make my career... disappear.
Yeah, bro. Well, I'm pretty sure his career had already disappeared, and that was
at that point to do that special.
Yeah, no magician in their right mind that was still doing magic shows would just do that shit. And even if half the methods were fake, that still doesn't matter. You're now teaching people to approach it like a puzzle instead of magic. Mm. And the moment that you're approaching entertainment like a puzzle, it's almost like if you're watching a movie, you want to get sucked into the movie. If you are sitting there thinking, oh, those guys that just walked by, that guy wasn't shaved, you know, like that. Yeah. You don't want to be looking at background shit or wondering about the production.
Yeah.
We do because we're drunk and have seen this movie a lot, but...
we're just picking shit apart right now.
Yeah, yeah. You don't want people to view that shit like a puzzle. It was a really good...
it's a good little fireball effect, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is...
not good.
Horrible, but...
yeah.
Whatever.
I mean, fireballs were like, you know, 100% awesome, and that shot looked 0% awesome. So overall, this scene's about a 50%.
Uh-huh.
I guess that's how they justified it.
Yeah. Now, seeing as how quick he is to draw a gun,
mm-hmm.
as he does numerous times in this franchise...
yeah.
Why did he not shoot Benny at any time before the end of the movie?
Is it because, like, they're still friends? Or, I mean, he's a dick, he's a weasel, but...
but he tried to have you killed. You know, like...
yeah.
Peace, totally not wires.
Yeah, the eye lines are a little off there, I feel. She's
uh-huh.
staring at his mouth.
Yeah, she's like looking at his nose that's hanging off.
And that little reaction there was a little Hanna-Barbera-esque, for mm-hmm. lack of a better term. Egad's a cat. Zoinks, you know.
Egad's. Egad's. What musical is that from? The Music Man. Eat gods. No?
Don't look at me like I'm the fucking idiot. I don't. Oh, what? When's that? How old was that movie?
Which one?
The Music Man.
I mean, there was one in the 60s. There was a remake that came out like 15, 20 years ago. It's been on Broadway for years.
Okay, yeah, you're right. I'm the asshole.
We'll talk at a later date. Nice. Yeah, it's fine.
I feel like if John did do this cosplay, though, he would get, like, beheaded or some shot or something in Orlando.
Not at a con.
Do you think they'd be mistaking him for someone from ISIS? Just looking at the tattoos on his face.
No, because ISIS people don't have tattoos on their face.
But it's a very... You know how, like, you know, people just see shit and it's like, oh, that's close enough.
I would see tattoos on a face and immediately think, like... tribal islandy shit,
but stuff
if you
like
weren't
that
wearing the
looks
robe.
Arabic.
I mean, is that even real Arabic?
I don't know. It's close. It
I would like to think it is, but with movies, it's not normally the case.
Yeah, but you know, people who are just like, you know,
yeah,
just looking to start something or whatever.
Yeah, but
they'll see what they want to see. You know.
Yeah, yeah. Another
reason it's very important to have a Rick O'Connell next to him.
Yeah, that is the type of cosplay where if he didn't have a Rick O'Connell next to him, you do the makeup at your house and you bring your costume to the convention center in a bag.
And you wear a bag on your head in the car over.
Yeah.
And you don't take an Uber. You get a friend.
Yeah. Yeah, just lay back in the back seat. Nobody will notice. Yeah, it sounds like Benny. Benny's a cunt. A carpet bag.
Never heard that phrase.
What? Like carpetbaggers and shit?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I went to public school in America, and that was like a chapter.
Is it usual for doors to lock from the outside for a bedroom?
They're not supposed to, but shitty design of doors is like
maybe they put the doors on backwards.
Yeah. Shitty door design is like a very common thing, apparently.
Okay.
There's entire hardcover books written about just shitty doors.
Again, considering the sun's blocked out, there's some really weird shadowing going on here.
Yeah. See, that face doesn't look horrible, but that could have been makeup.
You can only see 5% of it.
Yeah, but because it was only 5%, it could have been makeup. We don't know.
Sure. I'll accept it. Still don't have a favorite moment, by the way. That lizard really threw me off.
That's his moment right there, throwing the chair. That in the second one, when the dude throws the knife at him and he spins, catches a knife, and in one movement throws it back at the dude.
That's a great shot.
That's the movie too, Rick O'Connell moment. Yeah, that was fucking choice.
I'm trying to think of the shit that goes down at the end of the movie, but again, I this has been so long since I've seen this, I can't really remember it too well.
They leave with gold because Jonathan gets a lot of money. Cue the second movie.
Mm-hmm. Benny gets trapped.
Yeah, none of the camels like Benny.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really funny that in real life, none of the camels liked the actor, so that's just kind of what... the camel won't budge with Benny.
Just go with it.
Yeah, they just don't like him. It's funnier. It works. The fuck are you freaking out for? That's just a ceiling fan. I was tossing my nephew up in the air once and tossed like a 5-year-old directly into it. And you know what it did? It broke the fan. Like, it startled him. It didn't even hurt him.
Oh, it's funny because it's true.
Yeah. Right? If you were holding me into your ceiling fan, I would be more amazed that short-ass you was able to hold me into your ceiling fan than I would be scared that I'm going to get my head pushed into a ceiling fan.
Yeah, you'd be like, well done, Dave.
Yeah, bro. Yeah. I'd have to buy you a beer just on, like, a congratulatory, like, basis. Did all that without getting on your toes? Oh, all the plagues. So apparently in Egypt...
Oh, hang on. There's a shot here. This guy that runs past the screen in a second where you can't see his face. That guy there. The reason the... and this is something I remember from the making of DVD ages ago. The reason there's so many flies or whatever heavy on that screen is because the guy was a massive over-actor. He's one of those guys who just, you know, fucking went... Not even 110%. Like, he went 400% into the scene.
The kind of extra where after day one, you try and push him to the back?
Yeah, exactly. You're no longer a featured extra at all.
So you don't get your $50. You get your fucking bag nasty and $20.
You had a lunch. You're done.
Yeah.
I remember watching that because there's footage of the original actor, and yeah, it's embarrassing. It's like when that guy in the Indiana Jones Epic Stunt Spectacular with the plant... fucking does the
holy shit. Yeah, you know, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's as bad as that. Who's the other guy he kills, or is this the last one? Oh, that's a good shot. Shit, I should have picked that. So I was going to say maybe I could pick the scene where we finally get him in his... I don't fucking know anymore, man. I was going to say we pick the scene where he's in his final... You know, he kills the last guy and he gets his full restored state.
He's in his prime.
Yeah.
Where he's fucking gorgeous.
Yeah. But I can't remember who else he kills to do that.
Did he already kill the long-haired American?
Yeah, just now.
And he killed the nerdy one?
Yeah, and he killed the... Oh, it's the I know the guy.
Not the old guy with the book.
Yeah, we had him already. I know who we're waiting for now. I don't know when it happens though.
Oh, the dude that looks like he could be any one of our friend's father.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
The dad bod.
Mm-hmm. But that's even not. I don't know what my fucking favorite movement is in this movie.
You don't have to have one.
We already had the scene where Rick O'Connell just screams at the zombie and screams at the mummy and shoots him, right? It's like when they first meet him.
I thought so.
Yeah.
I mean, it was better than the full body, but it was still kind of jarring.
Mm. It's very Mask.
Yeah.
Jim Carrey.
Yeah. Fuck up, Jonathan.
All right, I tell you what. We'll pick the scene where they just start driving through the bodies.
For my okay.
Because I wasn't sure it was in this movie, and if it is, I'll be super happy.
Okay.
That's my moment. And yeah, then very quickly after that, we're going to have your horrible fucking peach vodka, man. Please bring another bottle next time.
I will. I will. Were you here when they opened the ride?
No. 2004?
I think so.
Maybe.
So here in Orlando, we have, we're one of the places around the world that has the official, like, mummy roller coaster.
Designed by Stephen Sommers.
Yeah, and the queue is great. The queue feels like you're on set. It's supposed to be the set, but it really does feel like a set, not a theme park that's going after like a theme. But when they opened it, the lines were so goddamn long that they were like going through the entire queue and out of the ride, out on the street, out on New York Street. And everyone's standing there, but whenever the line would make any progress, as they could start to move forward, the crowd would chant, Imhotep, Imhotep, like those guys.
Nerds.
Yeah, but hey, man, those guys weren't even cast members. Those were just nerdos at the park.
Yeah. Good for them.
Hey, man, when you can get the whole group participating in something without having to like, warn anybody...
Oh, perfect.
Bro, I can't even get more than me to, like, participate in... I can't start a slow clap. I've tried, and I just can't, you know? Have you ever tried to start a slow clap?
I don't think I've ever been in a situation where you know, nobody's doing anything, and I'm like, you know what this situation needs? A slow clap. And just stepped up to the occasion. But damn straight, I'm going to be looking out for it right now.
Damn right.
This is like in Shaun of the Dead where they pretend to be zombies.
Yeah.
And about as convincing.
Yeah, pretty much. Now, this is off topic. Has nothing to do with the movie. Has everything to do with the fact that I had to help you take your passport photo.
Oh, yeah.
Earlier, before we started.
Mm-hmm. So I've accidentally let that lapse, and now it's... It's £100, $130 to get a passport renewed over here.
I'd rather it be expensive than our Dave have to leave the country.
Oh, it's not even that. No, it's if I want to leave the country, I need a passport. That's a different thing.
Shit. Oh, yeah, because you're a fucking responsible adult. There's no risk of you having to leave.
No, I've got my visa shit underway, but the passport is so that if I need to fly home for whatever reason, I actually can.
Uh-huh.
And I realized it expired in February 2017. And now, well, I realized it in March, and I'm like, oh, I should probably get on that. So I've done the paperwork. I just need a photo to send in. That's
well, cool. Don't do this with your passport, but if you get a spongy clown nose, okay, carry it in your pocket. You rip off a tiny little piece of sponge that's a little circle. In your wallet, your ID should be behind that little clear plastic.
Uh-huh.
Between your ID and the clear plastic, you put this tiny red sponge ball on top of your ID nose, so it looks like your ID is wearing a clown nose. So the idea is you reach into your pocket when you take out your wallet, your other hand goes into your pocket and takes out the real clown nose. You hand them your ID when you're getting carded, and they're going to look at it, and then they're going to double take because there's a clown nose in your ID.
They're going to look up to you.
When they do that, you put it on, and when they look up at you, without fail, I've never had someone not start laughing.
I could see that.
All right, well, here we are.
Yeah, here we are, man. All right, so Blazing Apple Twisted Shot. I don't know what kind of liquor this is. I'm guessing it's cheap. And it's going to taste fuck awful because it's been in my cupboard for 3.5 years. Down the hatch, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, that was fucking easy. What other flavors do you have?
I've not got much. I got whipped, whipped chocolate, which is
chocolate that's married.
You
see, but when you're dating, you're whipped. When you're married and you're doing things that guys that were whipped are doing, you're a smart husband.
I'm trying to read the. Hang on. And something called a B-52, which is orange liqueur and coffee cream liqueur.
Okay, well, here's the question. Is that all you have left?
These are the last two I have.
Okay, I know they're not the same, but do you want to do those for my shot instead of the really, really shitty vodka? Because that last one wasn't good, but it was way better than that shitty vodka.
You know what? We totally can, but my concern is
you choose
that
your favorite.
My concern is that, now my concern is that these appear to be congealing at a certain point, but also my concern is that every week we put off drinking that vodka as another week it stays in my freezer.
Well, think of it this way. Next week, we'll either be drinking vodka for two of the shots, or... I will just bring a replacement bottle of something that doesn't suck nearly as much, and then we'll just get that out of your freezer. I am not above emptying the whole thing into your fucking sink so I can keep the bottle when we get to that point.
All right, well, if you want to switch out for this, whatever the fuck's left here, then
yeah, that feels like it'd be more enjoyable for both of us.
I'm down with that plan.
Okay, right. Cool.
So this is when the guy, so she goes off with him, and then they go jump in a plane and try and catch them, right?
Mm-hmm. The giant sand face tries to eat them.
Perfect. Okay.
Now, is Oded Fair on the plane with them? Yes, he's on this plane, right? Or no?
Pass. Like I say, I thought maybe that happened in the second movie.
I know the fat guy with the stash dies in the plane crash.
Yeah, and he sinks like in the...
And he looks regal and British as fuck when it's happening. Whereas the four Americans are like the American stereotypes, that dude is a stereotype of what you expect any British man that's ever done like army service to act like.
Yeah, in the 20s especially.
Yeah. In the 20s, I expect all British dudes to have really fierce mustaches and at least own a monocle. You own a monocle, don't you?
My penis has a monocle.
I knew it. Don't fucking front. Again, no blood.
Mm-hmm. It's a gentle horror. I think that's why it was so successful.
Yeah. This is a horror you actually could take your kids to and still enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Not like that shitty Baby Boss.
Quintessentially British. Sitting under an umbrella held by an ethnic man, drinking tea, listening to a cyst.
He probably picked up that ethnic man in one of the in a location that was part of the empire.
Absolutely. It was a simpler time. It was a better time.
Oh, God.
And he's so stoic when he stands up as well. Look at that cape little blowing in the wind and shit.
Apparently, one of the capes that was used in this movie as a costume piece was originally made as one of the capes for Alec Guinness as Obi-Wan.
And nobody fucking knew until, like, after the whole thing had been done, right?
Yeah, it's like that Wizard of Oz story that didn't actually happen. Like, this actually happened.
Yeah, you want it to be... What was the Wizard of Oz thing?
The fact that... was it the wizard coat? Might have been the wizard's coat himself, but one of the coats for Wizard of Oz, the story went that there was a tag on the inside that it was made for Frank L. Baum.
Yes, that's right. And that is all just, like, that's a myth that was debunked a few years ago, but for the, like, you know, the...
I'm sure it's been
debunked
multiple times. Yeah. People just forget.
But like 70 years since before the internet really sprung up, people fucking believed it.
Yeah.
But this was actually... Yeah, there's an extra in the movie that is literally just wearing a Jedi robe that was made for Alec Guinness.
Mm-hmm.
And that's badass. The loincloth is just so strategic here.
Yeah. And Benny clearly does not like sand. It's rough. It's coarse. It gets everywhere.
Maybe he's looking away in disgust because a kick of wind blew up Hondo Vuslu's little man skirt.
You saw Rogue One, right?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure the reason that Vader wasn't at the Battle of Scarif was because there was sand everywhere.
Sorry, just this is the shot where we've panned up a little bit just so we don't see his butt.
Uh-huh. And it's like all that sand CG. What the fuck did you need a big-ass fan to show his ass
Yeah.
for?
That's just for yourself, Steven.
Yeah. That's literally to make him feel better. Feels like it's happening. Just imagine. You can feel it.
Sorry. I'm going to take the B-52, which is an orange liqueur and coffee cream.
Okay. I'm going to take this whipped chocolate. I'm not really down for the chocolate, but because this might be much like your... Let me see. Do you have a creamy thing, too? Yeah, we could be dying from our creamy things.
Oh, eat it. Eat it. Grr. And cream in the mouth.
Cheers.
Let's go. And so ends a story 3.5 years in the making.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Ugh.
I wish these weren't twisted. I wish they were straight, because then they'd be magic props that you would pay $20 a piece for at a magic shop.
You could find a way to make the magic props even though they're twisted.
Oh, more than likely, yeah. Yeah, what? Yeah, clearly. Yeah. I'll probably take one, if you don't mind. Oh, he's so close. How the fuck are those guys still on the wing? Oh. Yep. Like a Rocky and Bullwinkle cartoon. There's destruction, but not really destruction. It's cartoon destruction. Jonathan, you're still stuck there? Yeah, a little help would be useful because you're useless. He's useless. Except for when it comes to stealing shit or conning people. I love how when he checked on Winston, and you can barely tell because Winston has that really fierce mustache that just kind of hangs down on both sides. But when he checks on him and he's dead, he's like, I swear to God, he's smiling under that mustache. Like, because he is a military pilot through and through, he died in his plane, so he died happy.
Yeah.
Like, when you look at...
It's the best way to go.
Yeah, either he's got dimples and a really, really curvy face, or that man was smiling under his mustache, and I'm pretty sure it was the second one. Oh, hello, England. It's so crazy how many movies through, like, I knew, like, the Potter franchise shot there because of course it did. It's a very British franchise,
very much.
And Star Wars shoots there, you know. Sherlock shoots there, but again, takes place in Britain. If the movie takes place in Britain, I expect it to be shot there. If it's shot here, I'm surprised.
Yeah.
Almost like when they shoot in fucking Toronto and then try and pass that off as every city around the world.
Yes.
God. But like, I had no idea that movies like this were also happening at those same studios in Europe.
They're big sound stages. Things like Pinewood and Leavesden.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Alien was shot on the same stage as...
But I mean, like, think about it. This, the production company, not the actors, because clearly they have a very diverse cast, mm-hmm. people from different countries. But this movie, the people in charge of the movie or the production company, weren't they? Isn't that like an American? It's Universal. That's an American company, right?
Yeah.
Does Universal always shoot overseas, or was that just convenient?
It's just convenient,
because they were coming from Morocco.
Say.
Yeah. Because I would be interested to know what the incentives, you know how like you shoot one place over another because of the incentives you're offered?
Absolutely.
I'd be interested to know what incentives are, because clearly it's got to be good incentives considering how many movies that don't need to go over to England are shooting in England. Clearly they're given some better incentives than Georgia is.
I think a lot of it is the, those facilities, particularly Leavesden and Pinewood, they've been around for so long.
Aren't they fucking humongous?
Yes. Like I could be wrong with this, but I think The Terminal was shot in the UK because it was the only place big enough to make a airport terminal sized stage.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's an aircraft carrier wing or something that one of them shot in.
Honestly, though, never even thought that was filmed on. I thought the majority of the, aside from like interior shots that were clearly filmed,
you thought the shot
studio,
in a real airport?
Yeah, I thought a lot of those like airport shots were actually in a rando airport. Holy shit.
It's an actual stage they built the size of your typical airport terminal.
So their soundstage has got to be like military airplane hangar size.
Pretty much, yeah. At least one or two of them, yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, man. Mind blown. You've learned a lot on this podcast. Not about The Mummy, but at least you've learned something about movies in general. Maybe we'll do a podcast on The Terminal sometime. I'll teach you some interesting shit about Pee-wee's Big Adventure. Or
Terminal's a really good movie.
It's good, yeah. I liked it a lot. Let's talk about the reason I kind of selected this movie, and because you got me turned on to this, the reboot coming out soon.
Yeah.
And the fact we got like a second trailer for it recently.
The trailer looked great. Yeah.
The second trailer.
Uh-huh.
Because the first trailer was cool. It starts off with the whole plane crash and then Tom Cruise coming to life and everything. The second trailer gives us a little more backstory as to what leads up to the discovery of the mummy,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was cool. So, yeah, this was not even on my radar until you kind of kept going on about it.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know Tom Cruise was actually considered for this mummy movie?
Hell yeah.
Of course you did.
Hell yeah, I did, bro.
You're all about Tom Cruise.
I'm all about the mummy. This movie is great. Brendan Fraser is great in this movie. That does not mean he is a great actor.
Yeah.
That just means that this time it was really... You can tell when great casting is really well and the person just kind of playing a version of themselves.
Absolutely.
Ugh, that shot did not sit well with me.
Oh?
That tastes disgusting. I'm burping now and having to taste it for a second time.
Oh.
Not good.
Not good the second time.
Nope, not good. Not good.
So, I'm intrigued by this reboot. It's looking like it's going to be a really cool movie.
Yeah, and I dig her facial tattoos as well.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if that was just an early costume decision or if that is... because the last franchise already made like facial tattoos like part of it.
Sure.
You know, I either way it doesn't matter. It still looks cool as shit. But I'd be interested to know if they were influenced at all by at least this one, because this was it before the Mummy franchise got shitty.
Mm-hmm. I think... Oh, car's running off to the bathroom. It did not sit well with you. Oh my word. Here I am, sitting by myself, talking to myself. Oh, he is vomiting something fierce. This does not bode well for me because I drank the same thing he did. You can't hear him, but I can hear him, and it is distracting me from this awesome flick. How very dare he? And he's coming back. Or he's just filled up the toilet bowl and he needs to reflush. That hole in the floor is from a deleted scene. That I'm sure is very interesting, but for the life of me, I cannot remember the details of it, so... You'll have to do your own research on that one, I'm afraid. Hey, baby.
So that cream tastes just as bad coming back up as it did the first time. The apple, when it came up, it tasted like apple, and that still tasted amazing. So I'm pretty sure it was the cream.
Okay.
That put me down.
Was that in the first shot or the second shot?
That was the second shot.
Okay.
I kept puking, but when the apple came up, it was fine.
Oh, that was like a cleanser for you.
Yeah. It helped get the taste of vomit out of my mouth.
Fantastic, then.
And then I had to wash my mouth out in your sink.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. It's... Not quite embarrassing, but it's not fun.
You're the first one to vomit on Big Gay Date.
Well, okay, here's the way I look at partying. 25
episodes, so...
If you do vomit, basically, if you're partying hard and you get nauseous, mm-hmm. it sucks. But once you throw up, once you get all that out of your system, you're still drunk and you feel amazing.
You're back in the game.
Yeah, you hit your second wind.
Yeah, absolutely. You're ready to go.
I was partying with my lady, like, the first time, you know, and we were doing illicit things and drinking, you know, and she got really nauseous, and she was, like, almost in tears, because it's not good, that's not fun for anybody to go through, you know, and I was telling her, I'm like, baby, just fucking throw up, and then you're going to feel amazing. Embrace it.
The shot here is cool because he's choreographing his own movements with, like, it's a very long shot, actually, as well. He's choreographing movements with things that are not there. And I was kind of talking about this maybe the second or third time we went to the restroom, but this is one of the earlier movies where people had to act against things that were not there at all.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, well, I guess, you know, the guys in The Phantom Menace had to react to, like, battle droids and gun guns and stuff like that, but that came out the same year as this, so while you're making it, there wasn't really... They were kind of uncharted territory, you know?
Mm-hmm. Didn't they have the same issue in Lord of the Rings, though? I mean, yeah, things had gotten better, but isn't that why Ian McKellen had his breakdown?
Well, that was The Hobbit, yeah, because he was shooting...
It was The Hobbit, okay.
The Hobbit's where he had his little breakdown, because he had the, you know, rather than doing all the forced perspective stuff, they do a lot of stuff on green screen and composite him in later, because I guess it was easier than doing the math.
That sucks.
Whereas in the Lord of the Rings trilogy, they did, you know, put people 3 feet back and everything like that, you know, so at least they were still in the same scene, you could react to their lines, their readings, their emotions and stuff. But movies like this, you know, I mean, we had the... In terms of heavy CG movies, we had the Star Wars trilogy before this. Before that, there was Terminator and The Abyss. But none of those really had as much extensive interaction between humans and CG characters as this did.
Yeah, Terminator and Abyss both fucking set standard and push boundaries for CG. But the interactions were a lot easier.
Yeah, and
this feels like a lot, not quite Who Framed Roger Rabbit level of planning, but a lot of planning.
Yeah, and his whole scene there where you just had the whole fight scene with absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
As a whole, like, ignore the visuals itself, but the choreography and the interaction between him and the virtual elements, it holds up pretty well, actually. Mm-hmm. I'll give him that.
Now, when they filmed that and he's working with nothing, did they animated everything after he'd already done his scene, right?
Yes.
So they literally explained to him, and then this mummy does this, and then you kill this mummy this way.
This is happening here. And the good thing about that is that there's some leeway. So if he's slightly off or anything, or off on his timing, or he punches in a different direction, just make your character come from that direction instead.
You know, we hear the high points we need you to hit. Now dance around, Brendan.
Basically, yeah. It's just him doing it's him doing an interpretive dance. If you could ever watch the version without the visual effects.
With
added.
The scissor kick off the side of the altar. Yeah. Oh, peace out, bro. They are not having you, man.
Helpful.
He's so useless. Jonathan, not Brendan.
It's another one, you see. He's got to stop his sword in a specific place to make it look like it's hit actually through a body. This good for him. I'm proud of the guy, you know?
Yeah.
Especially because he's one of the first people to really try doing this. You know, there wasn't this much happening.
Mm-hmm.
In film,
when actors had to do that, it almost makes you wonder somewhere in the training crew, in this, because clearly a bunch of stunt guys trained him, you know. But when you're acting with nothing, I would hope that at least one of those guys, like one of those stunt guys in your crew, has extensive mime training as well.
Yes,
you know, like
you need that.
I'm sure they don't have a mime on payroll, but there's got a couple of their dudes had to have done a lot of that training just because of the overlap.
Absolutely, yeah.
Pro football players take ballet, bro. Do what you gotta do. Fuck you, Imhotep.
So, back to the, before you had to go and take your little moment, but back to the new Universal Monsters Extended Universe. Or the cinematic universe that all movies try and do now, where they tie movies into each other.
The Wolfman, the Mummy, aren't they doing Dracula?
Yeah, they have pretty much every classic Universal monster has a movie on the slate at some point.
And Creature from the Black Lagoon's coming.
Yes.
That I'm actually excited about. I'm really excited to see what they do.
That could be our Aquaman. You know?
It could be really, really bad, but it could also be awesome.
There's a lot of potential. There's a lot of potential for all of these, honestly. Because the good thing about these is it's been so long since anybody cared about them.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, there's such little expectation. When you do something like bringing Batman to the screen again, or Superman, or the Justice League,
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of expectation because there's such huge fans of the comics and the movies that came before it and everything. It's been so long since we've seen any of these characters on the screen. Expectations are low, which I think helps it in this case.
Yeah.
What I didn't realize is we've seen Russell Crowe in the trailer for The Mummy. He's Dr. Henry Jekyll.
Of course he is.
Which is, is going to play up at some point in a future movie.
Yeah.
And I like that they're already starting to plant the seeds in that and everything.
They took a lesson from the comic book movies.
Mm-hmm. But it's not... It doesn't seem to be so overt as the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, you know?
Yeah.
Where they're just kind of rushing into it.
It seems like they're taking all the good...
I get that's based off of an existing comic where those characters already exist and everything like that.
Uh-huh.
For people who aren't familiar with the comics, you got to kind of ease them into it. You know, comics and movies are a very different medium.
Yeah.
So being able to kind of ease them into this character in this movie is a neat little idea.
Uh-huh.
Because you know he's going to play a bigger part in a future movie as well. Maybe he's going to be like our Nick Fury.
Oh, man.
You know? Because he's the one who's kind of... It sounds like from the newest trailer, it seems like he's the one who's doing all the investigating.
Yeah, and honestly, Dr. Jekyll is one of the saddest, most victim-y monsters.
Yes.
You know? I mean, not necessarily in the book, because fucking Hyde is rocking that shit.
Yeah.
But just like in the movie, he feels like... He feels more like a victim than a monster.
Absolutely. Om nom 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 nom.
Peace out. We'll see that pool next year.
I didn't realize the next movie in the cinematic universe. Because did you watch the Dracula Unborn or Dracula Reborn movie that came out a couple years ago? That was supposed to kickstart the cinematic universe, and it did not work. Obviously, they've gone back and they'd be like, no, that one doesn't count. So this is our first movie now, The Mummy with Tom Cruise. Uh-huh. The next one in the cinematic universe is. Wolfman reboot, but that's supposedly coming out in 2018.
They're rebooting it again, didn't they? Just do it a
they
few years ago.
They just did it with
Benicio
del Toro. Yeah, we're rebooting again, and it's coming out in 2018, and the script is being rewritten as we speak. So I'm not positive that movie's going to come out on time, honestly. So it could be we may have to wait a couple years before the next movie in the cinematic universe, which never works when you have to wait a couple years for something like that, you know? It always hurts it. The good thing with Iron Man and Incredible Hulk is they came out within like a year of each other, I think. And then since then, Marvel's just been, you know, two movies a year, possibly.
Did you see Dracula 2000 with Gerard Butler?
No.
It was a really, really bad movie, but the best thing about that movie was their concept of Dracula.
Okay.
Dracula wasn't based on Vlad the Impaler in Dracula 2000. In Dracula 2000, he's Judas, and as punishment for betraying Jesus, he is made to live forever and live with his guilt every single day. Which is such a... It's an interesting...
With Dracula, you've got to have, like... At this point, you need to have a unique kind of direction with it.
Yeah. Obviously. And the Judas thing was just really interesting. You didn't expect it. The rest of the movie was crap. Gerard Butler shouldn't have been Dracula, but Dracula's Judas, that's cool. Oh, peace out, buddy. Now, I just feel maybe like it's... Okay, the light is coming from somewhere still. Okay?
It's those things there.
Yeah. Okay, so... The hole that was just shining sunlight against those mirrors is still fucking there on the ceiling somewhere. I feel like his torch goes out a little too quick.
Well, I thought the idea was that the light we're seeing right now is just coming from his torch, and it's just kind of embellished for a cinematic.
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. I feel like realistically, his torch should not go out when it does. He should still have a little bit before it goes out and the scarabs attack you.
Sure.
If that torch is dying, it is definitely not dying because there's no oxygen in the room. It's fucking dying because he didn't put enough fuel on his torch like an asshole.
And that sounds like something he would do, honestly.
Yeah, like a rookie sideshow performer. Mm-hmm. God.
It sounds like you have a story there.
Oh, no. I just... It's a easy mistake for rookies, I guess. So
I'm just looking at those bricks falling and everything. I want to say that was a physical effect just because it looked way too good to be a digital effect from the other digital effects we've seen in this movie.
Yeah, and even that thing, when all the rocks and the walls are flying through, those are clearly fake, but this smoke looks great.
Yeah. Some of it might be miniature.
Yeah, the smoke and the dust looks amazing. The city destruction kind of meh.
Mm.
Oh, hey, sir.
Thanks for the jump scare at the end there.
Uh-huh.
You bastard.
With your hand conveniently looking like a mummy's hand. God. Hey, come stick around with us. Maybe we'll give you a name next movie. Buenos dias and beans and disease to you too, fool. It's like that episode of Sanford and Son.
No. You
never watched. Yeah. No. Don't waste your time. It's fine.
I'm good. I've got more pressing matters on my plate.
It's iconic American television, but there are better things to watch.
Uh-huh. If there's a choice between Sanford and Son and The Wire, like, what should I be doing?
The Wire.
Okay, good.
The Wire is great, and I mean, half the cast members that are playing murderers are actually murderers, so it's a... The Wire's awesome. It takes place in Baltimore, and it's so realistic because literally they just picked up a bunch of randos in Baltimore and were like, hey, you're playing a character that you sell weed? Your character sells weed. What's your name? That's your character's name. You're going to do great. One of the hitmen went to one of the little girl. That, I mean, I say little girl. She's a woman, but she's really short. She plays a hitman in The Wire. And I'm pretty sure she's done, like, prison time for, like, violent crimes. It's fucking great, bro. It when you don't think you're watching actors, because for the most part, you're not.
All right.
Now that we're at the end, I've been waiting to mention this whole time.
Okay.
These ending credits are so choice, man.
It's creative.
Yeah, they're not, like, clearly James Bond, like, opening credits are better than these, but... I've always dug these credits. I dig what they're doing at the letters and the fake hieroglyphics and...
It's nice and subtle.
Yeah.
There's very few movies that put as much thought into their end credits now. The Marvel movies, they have a nice little end credit sequence and everything.
People put more effort into their opening credits than they do their end credits.
When there's even opening credits, you mean, like, you don't see opening credits as much anymore. We didn't have any opening credits for this movie.
And at this point, the only movies you're guaranteed opening credits for are Bond movies.
Yes.
Just because they have to sell that year.
That's their bread and butter, right?
Yeah.
There.
Although I'm not gonna lie, Casino Royale with all the cards and what's
you know
his
my name?
Oh my god,
so that's a good one.
Cornell, what's his name? Chris Corn? No,
no,
he's the dude from the dude that sang Spoon Man.
From Jeff Lord Soul? No, yeah, no,
no.
I don't fucking
Soundgarden.
Soundgarden. Okay, yeah. right. I don't know his name, but that is a good. I think a lot of that is the fact that we had really cheesy, shitty James Bond stuff for the five movies before that, you know?
Mm-hmm. So at this point, if you do better than that...
The bar was set super fucking low at that point. The last thing we knew about James Bond was Piers Brosnan surfing away from a wave on a parachute, you know? That's the last thing we had. And then he was gone for like 5 years, 6 years, 8 years, and then we had... free running, parkour, and then that opening credit sequence. Yeah, absolutely, everyone's going to fucking dig it.
Hell yeah. Well, The Mummy.
Postmortem of The Mummy. it was really cool to relive it, I gotta say.
I haven't seen it in a while, so I didn't realize how obviously the CG would be dated, but I assumed it would be.
It's not aged well. But yeah. We kind of expect that going into any older movie at this point.
But if you ignore, if you don't even count the fact that the CG is dated and jarring, all the live action stuff and the actual stunt performances and this is a great movie. This is a great adventure movie, even without the fake looking mummy and all the scarabs and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
I was really,
it's a solid adventure movie for all ages.
I remembered the scarabs looking way more real than they did.
Yeah.
That doesn't hold up. Those rose tinted glasses, right?
Mm-hmm. One of those things, yeah, it's, what's that effect where you can, and that's the thing that was kind of affecting me with between the two movies. What's that effect where you like what's his fucking name, Sinbad, with the Shazam movie? You know, everyone kind of swears it existed, but it actually didn't.
Oh, the Mandela effect.
Thank you. Yeah. So I kind of thought that so many. It's been a long time since I've seen either of the movies, but I thought parts of it were in one, parts of it were in another. You know.
And then you're going to watch the next two, and you're going to realize parts of it that you remembered never even happened in this franchise.
Yeah.
Because that shit happens to me with Alien movies.
Uh-huh.
Alien, Event Horizon, any of those dark spaceship movies, if I'm trying to remember a single one, they all run together.
They all play together, yeah.
In my mind, the Alien movie that I am recounting is way fucking scarier than the one that actually happened.
It's like the Alien versus Sam Neill and Lawrence Fishburne and shit.
Bro. Yeah, Sam Neill. Event Horizon made me lose sleep because my dad dug science fiction movies and just let me watch it with him. And I was a child.
Uh-huh.
Bro, that ruined, like, the whole year. And I watched it recently.
Christmas sucked that year.
Yeah, the only things that really didn't age well were the, when they first get on the ship, and they're, okay, clearly the establishing shot of the ship doesn't age all that well, but we don't have any comparisons, so who am I to judge?
Fuck it.
But the, when they get on the ship, and all the liquid and shit is floating in that big green hallway, that looks horrible. Everything else in that movie is still just as scary as it was when I was a child. Are you happy we watched it?
I'm pretty happy we watched it. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I also enjoyed that we weren't watching a 3-hour movie, so that made me enjoy it even more.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was a little boy, this was one of my favorite movies, so yeah, I enjoyed it. Thank you for having me.
I enjoyed it as well. I would have enjoyed it a lot more if I could have got my cup of coffee!
God damn
it. I've been waiting all night to make that joke.
Jesus fuck. God damn it.
Do you think that is in the end of all the rides at like Japan and everything?
Probably. I mean, if not that, it might be something that is almost like in Zootopia, it's a koala or a kangaroo in the Australian viewing of it, the news anchors are, whereas here, okay, and in Japan or China, one of the news anchor animals is a panda.
Okay.
Because you don't change character names, you just change what they look like.
So you think it's like a Japanese Brendan Fraser?
Wait, hang on, backtrack. What was the question you asked me before that?
Do you think he still does, do you think they still have that in the foreign versions? Like Hollywood, I'm sure, I use it.
Yes. I feel like they may not have that line. Yeah, I went off on a tangent and then forgot why I was going off on the tangent. I feel like it may not be coffee, but it may be something that is,
could have got my cup of sake.
Yeah, whatever makes sense with that I mean, I wouldn't really encourage turning into Japanese alcoholics, but because those are always the worst type of alcoholics.
Whoa.
I'm joking. However, the saddest thing in the world is watching an Asian old man cry. Just because, like, I cry.
Did you make an Asian old man cry?
No. I have never made an Asian old man cry. I've just seen Asian old men cry in, like, person. And it is.
Was it? So he was near you?
Yeah,
it's totally
like
you, man.
Literally in the same room.
It's totally you.
Could have been. Could have
totally
been.
Totally your effect.
But for real, that no girlfriend, no mom crying and looking at you like she's disappointed has made me as sad as watching like a at least 70-year-old Japanese man bawl his eyes out. It is the same because those dudes are, according to movies, Americans think all Japanese dudes are stoic as shit.
Uh-huh.
The same as like all British people drink tea and know the colleges there.
Asian men cry too, though.
Yeah, bro, but it's sad.
So much sadder than when American men cry.
Anyway, thanks for hanging out with us. My name's Carl Skeens.
My name's Dave Mosley, and you've joined us for our big gay day. Thank you so much. Join us next time. Thank you, and good night.